Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal. Travis Ryer, joined by my co-host, Mr. Evan Ryer. Of course, this show dedicated to discussion involving the AFC South Jacksonville Jaguars. Evan, it's been a couple weeks since we last convened here on the channel to talk Jags. We've had an NFL draft. We've had free agency. We've got a rookie camp coming up this weekend. A lot of excitement as we move into the summer months and look ahead to the start of training camp. Not all that far off on the horizon. And as we get things going, I wanted to ask you about the Jags' approach to the draft and maybe even free agency as you consider that as well. And what did those things say to you now in retrospect in terms of the Jags' window, as we expected it to be something that would be in play for multiple years? Do you think the Jags are in a window still after last season's events?
You know, I think with the Travis Hunter trade, obviously, I think that right away that was kind of a shot across the bow of like, no, we think we can win right now. You know, their approach to it, kind of some of those pieces when you account for free agency, some of those additions. I think that they thought this team was, you know, whatever that Gladstone and Cohen has walked into is better than the 4-13 team we saw last season. And I think that's somewhat fair. I mean, you know, when we go back and, you know, look at, you know, last year, it was brutal because the Jags lost close game after close game, you know, threw away a bunch of possible wins. So I like the idea. I mean, it's exciting, you know, to think that this this new front office, this new coaching staff thinks, oh, we can go win right now. Like, we're contending for the AFC South right now. Because, you know, I just don't see how you use the resources that they used out the gate as a new front office and, you know, not kind of say, yeah, we think we can win.
I think it goes back to the quarterback every time, too. And you're not paying this guy a former number one overall pick, which you're paying him because you're in rebuild mode. Obviously, a year ago at this time, what were we talking about? 10 wins, maybe in 2024, make the playoffs, maybe get back on top in the AFC South. That was pretty much a unanimous sentiment with the Jacksonville Jaguars heading into last season. Obviously, it did not go that way. I think the previous regime obviously thought they were very much in the early stages of a promising window with Trevor Lawrence with this football team. And I agree. I don't think you give up a first in 2026 to go get Travis Hunter right now if you think you don't have a great shot at getting back to the postseason, of getting back on top in your division. And so a lot of excitement with Travis Hunter, as there should be. I think this, it was interesting going in the draft because I wasn't sure how the Jags were exactly evaluating him. Was he corner first with some wide receiver? Was he wide receiver first? We learned after the draft they're going to first and foremost look at him on the offensive side of the ball. So from that perspective, it aligned with the narrative of helping Trevor Lawrence and helping this offense, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, they were pretty quick, you know, to say that too. I mean, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's kind of an unprecedented situation, you know, in terms of drafting a guy that can play both sides of the ball. I mean, I think that, you know, the last couple dudes to do that in the NFL, I mean, there's probably only been like two or three I can think of over the past 20 years. And none of them were necessarily guys that, you know, had this amount of potential and talent. But saying that, you know, this is Trevor's weapon first, you know, we're focused on giving Trevor another guy that can potentially, you know, catch the ball, make a play and score. So, I mean, I think you're totally right. It does revolve around Trevor Lawrence. And I think part of maybe that approach too is like, you know, for Gladstone and Cohen is they probably have some security in their situation with Shad, you know, probably, you know, had the discussion of like, all right, we're going to put it on Trevor. And if it doesn't work out this year, then, you know, that's not on us. We're not the ones that paid them. We're not the ones that whatever. And then you have that conversation after. But I think they're just going to, you know, exhaust the fuel, you know, to make sure that Trevor's the guy. And if he still isn't that guy at the end of this season, then, you know, you have to have a whole different conversation about, okay, well, now we've got a roster that we think is pretty solid or some young guys that we think are still going to grow in the good players. But we have to figure out quarterback, which, you know, God forbid we hit that. I would love for Trevor to just finally actualize his potential and be the guy that, you know, I think a lot of us Jags fans think he can be.
So. Absolutely. And we're going to get back to maybe a little bit more of that topic coming up here in just a little bit in the next segment. But wanted to also just get your thoughts on the draft class in general, some areas, maybe some guys that you liked, some moves that Gladstone and Tony Boselli and the Brain Trust made in addition to what we saw with moving up to two to snag Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I like the class a lot. I think this this class kind of represents what I thought we were going to get with Gladstone's approach, which is he is a talent first guy. You know, I think there was still probably, you know, a couple of different areas on the roster that they did not, you know, kind of prioritize, you know, earlier in the draft. But overall, they still hit some key spots. I mean, obviously with Travis Hunter, you're, you know, helping out your wide receiver group, which we didn't necessarily think needed more. It kind of felt like they were like, don't get it twisted, it wasn't like a elite group or anything like that, you know, coming into the draft, but
they kind of got their Chris Godwin though, maybe.
Yeah.
For their Mike Evans.
Right.
Using the analogy of Liam Cohen, maybe in Tampa Bay, they may have gotten more than Chris Godwin when it's all said and done with Travis Hunter. Right.
I mean, it's really enticing to think about, you know, BTJ streaking down one side and then Travis Hunter, you know, kind of coming underneath, catching the ball, making a dude miss. You know, they ought to be able to spread out defenses in a major way with that. It's going to be interesting to see how they do it. I really liked Caleb Branshaw as like the next up pick. I think that's a really shrewd move, and you know, they still, you know, obviously need that help at corner. So now between, you know, Tyson Campbell, Jarian Jones, Jordan Lewis, Caleb Ransall, Travis Hunter, I mean, you ought to have five or so corners that you can feel pretty good about. Obviously Travis Hunter is one where we're not even sure what that's going to look like. That's kind
of, how's that going to look on defense? You know,
I was going to ask you, you know, I mean, based on what we've seen so far, I mean, do you think when they talk about putting Travis Hunter in specific packages for the defense, do you think that's like a dime situation? Do you think that's like a, or, you know, are there going to be spots where it's like they're going to be in a nickel base kind of situation and Travis Hunter's still getting out there?
I mean, with what they have on defense right now, I'd be intrigued to put him out there in more than just situational opportunities based on the people they have. Now, they may get into this, you know, off-season workouts, these things, and kind of see what they feel like they can handle him, maybe as much as anything mentally. I mean, the different schemes and, you know, the complex nature of defenses at this level, he's very smart. He's very quick learner, can adapt, it sounds like. So it may be a situation they give him as much as he can handle, not only physically because of the toll that can take, but can he withstand it and not just be swimming mentally? You know, I mean, those are the things you can't. You can't have a guy out there that you're worried about busting coverages and things like that at this level. So, and his health. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not 220 pounds. But I'll say this about Travis Hunter. I think we'll talk about this a little bit later, too. I think it's tied largely to him as far as the Trevor Lawrence era in Jacksonville is concerned. And I think as much as anything for this upcoming season, his health is going to be one of the very top items on that checklist for the Jags in 2025. I wanted to circle back a little bit to some things you were hitting on just a minute ago, Ev. Wanted to bring this topic to your attention. More pressure to produce quickly with this new regime. Do you think it's Trevor? Based on your earlier comments, I would probably make that a betting favorite.
Yeah.
Or do you think it's still Liam Cohen, Tony Boselli, James Gladstone? How do you think that looks for, again, the short-term future here?
Well, I think there's definitely pressure on both sides. It's not like, you know, the Jags can just go 1-16 this year and just say, oh, well, Trevor sucks, so, you know, it wasn't us or whatever, right? But at the same time, I don't see how there's not more pressure on Trevor. It's kind of like how it's almost like the tables have flipped. In the previous regime, I feel like Trevor was kind of, you know, it was like he was kind of untouchable. I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore. I think now,
because a lot of the Trevor supporters would always revert back to it's Doug and it's the press. And I think that goes out the window now, because we've seen what Liam Cohen's done with Baker Mayfield, even Will Levis at Kentucky. Yeah. I agree. I think that lifeline is pretty much out the window, it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, really at this point, you know, when it comes to weapons, Trevor really can't, there's no complaint that, you know, Trevor can possibly make. Now, where things could still be interesting is if the offensive line is just garbage and Trevor's just
I still don't know how I feel about that. Which either.
Travis Hunter. He's gonna be so fast getting open that we don't need the block.
We don't have the block. It's gonna be like 1.1 seconds.
It's gonna be totally fine, guys. That is where, you know, I mean, really just based off of offensive line play from the past year or two, because even in the division winning season, it was still kind of, you know, that we could have signed two all pros and I think me and you would still be nervous. We'd still be like, I don't know. But, you know, with McCarry coming in, especially, that's really exciting. Robert Hainsey, if they have shored up the interior of the offensive line the way they need to, and if Walker Little and Anton Harrison, you know, maybe learn a thing or two with this new staff and kind of, you know, take that next step forward, then everything should be gravy. And if that's the case, if Trevor's getting a clean pocket, then he better be making throws, because I don't see a situation where I really hope it's not a situation where the cons are like, well, you know, we're still on Trevor's side, so I guess we'll clean house again after like a year or two. No. It's like, no, you can't do that. Like, it just doesn't work. It's not how you run a franchise. Really at this stage, I think there's quite a bit of pressure on Trevor Lawrence. Now, he doesn't necessarily have obviously when you're getting paid that much, you know, there's no question about like his starting week to week this season. I think he could go throw four picks a game, you know, at the first four games of the year, and he's not going to get benched. They're going to ride it till he's dead. Like, until it's just absolutely no chance.
Really though, isn't it maybe a 2-year thing? And see where they're at after 2026. And if it's still not happening, that's where I don't think there's as much pressure on Liam Cohen and Gladstone. Yeah. And I don't think there's any pressure on Tony Boselli. Yeah, I think absolutely. Tony Boselli, if you want to talk about last person standing in that building 10 years from now, it'll be Tony Boselli, obviously, because he's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. I think he just, the only question I have with Tony Boselli is he doesn't have the same, well, I'm new too, like Liam Cohen and James Gladstone have. Tony's not new.
Yeah.
Tony's been in that building for 20, 25 years now, pretty much, you know, whether physically or just having an understanding intricately of what's going on in that building. So Tony can't claim in most areas in a couple of years or two if things go south. Well, you know, if there's things that they didn't address initially and there's still a problem, like the offensive line or anything, 2 years from now, Tony can't plead, well, I didn't get it. You know, Tony knows better than Cohen and Gladstone exactly what the weaknesses of that franchise are. At least he should. I mean, I would think that's a big reason why you brought him in there. I'm with you though. I think it's largely on Trevor. And I think, the scenario I can see playing out is Trevor takes that next step with the help of a run game, which I think the offensive line additions they've made have more to do with that than even pass protection, because if they can run it effectively, that will certainly help Trevor. And 2 years from now, if it's going swimmingly with the new regime, great. Keep going with it. Maybe even look at another deal for Trevor down the line. If it isn't going well with Trevor in 2 years for whatever reason, I think Cohen and Gladstone will have the luxury of, well, he wasn't our guy. You know, we inherited him. I know you guys agreed to pay him $50 million a year. That wasn't our deal. We didn't do that deal. And we've really tried to make it work with him. It's not working. We feel like we should be able to go get our guy now. And that's where I think there's actually a good bit of security in some ways for Gladstone and Liam Cohen, that there isn't maybe as much for Trevor.
Yeah, no, I mean, at the end of the day, they ought to feel like they have 3 years, no matter what happens with Trevor. You know,
Right.
whether he balls or not, whether they're winning or losing, it's probably a 3 year stint for this kind of new crew. Which means, yeah, I think, for Trevor, that timeline is maybe, like you said, 2 years. You know, it's a year less. I think it's going to be interesting to see because really, when you also think about potential, let's say they have to abort from Trevor. I mean, there's some talented guys, like obviously in the college game. You know, we're thinking so far down the line when I'm bringing this up,
I
but
know.
like at the same time, it's like it's kind of like if you get a quarterback draft like you had this year, I mean, why do you move on from Trevor? Like, or what are you going to go find? So, yeah, there's no rush. I think there's definitely pressure on Trevor more, but I also think that basically every single person we've talked about has 2 years to work with.
I don't think there's as much pressure on Trevor moving forward than there was even last year, though, because he was asked to do more
So much. Yeah.
than he's probably capable of. I've been
Yeah.
screaming for months now. Ryan Tannehill, this guy, Baker Mayfield him. If they
Yeah.
get Baker Mayfield type of production out of Trevor Lawrence, they're going to feel okay about that, I got to think.
Yeah, that would be huge. I mean, I would love for a Baker Mayfield. If Trevor Lawrence has a season like Baker had last year, I think the Jags are probably in the playoffs. I mean, they're probably a 10-7
And
team.
Trevor's more skilled and I think more talented, has
Yeah,
more
absolutely.
upside than Baker
The
Mayfield.
only
So,
question, we've said it over and over since Cohen got hired, but it's the edge factor. Does he want to fight for,
And did you worry that you heard Liam Cohen talking about footwork
Yeah.
with Trevor going into
Which
what, year five?
it's like, how is his footwork not there? Also, what was he being taught by the four or five different
And what type of scar tissue does he have? Because his footwork could be tied to scar tissue.
Yeah.
It could be more about the mental
There
part standing in
are a lot
there.
of questions there. It was a wild comment. I mean, it's what he's seeing, it's what he's experiencing, but I don't think
But
we need
I
to.
think comments like that are why in 2 years they'll be able to come back around if they need to and say, look,
We
did
tried.
what we could do and
Yeah.
You guys thought you were in a window. We were trying to save the window for you guys. But the
Right.
reality is, even we couldn't do it.
Yeah, we
So
did our
we
absolute
need to,
best. We gave it everything we had.
we need to start our own window now.
Yeah. Now I don't know. It's a weird spot because I think there's, a renewed sense of optimism in the fan base and the organization right now. But simultaneously, there are still so many questions that are
I
unanswered
know.
and won't be answered really until regular season football is
And
being
the
played.
Jaguar
So,
produced touchdown dances with Tony and James
yeah.
Gladstone. That's not going to change that. It's
No.
not. We
Nope.
signed the Ravens starting guard, and we spike a football in a meeting room.
Yeah, it's like,
Great, But
no, the.
I do think Travis Hunter is reason for excitement. I don't think there's any
Oh, yeah.
doubt about that. And I still can very much see this team as early, as soon as this coming season, being back in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, at the end of the day, you play in the AFC South. It's there. If you want it, you should be able to go get 4 or 5 wins a season right now in that division.
Right.
I mean, you ought to be able to beat, especially, I mean, the Titans with, I mean, I know Cam Ward's a really solid QB prospect, but we've already talked about not a great QB draft. In other years, Cam Ward wouldn't be, maybe
Yeah.
the second or third quarterback taken.
Right.
So, you look at the Titans, you ought to be able to beat them. The Texans faltered pretty hard last year. They showed that they're definitely not, impervious. And then obviously the Colts are kind of just continuing to hang around the middle ground. I think, in that situation, also when you've got, the easier side of NFL scheduling because you finished where you finished in the division, there ought to be a lot of winnable games out there. And as we get closer, it'll be fun to kind of start, maybe in like July or August, start being like, okay, how many wins are we thinking? Like,
Yeah,
what are we looking at?
if Trevor is who you're paying him to be, and Liam Cohen is who you think he is, as a offensive guy, a quarterback whisperer of sorts, and James Gladstone as a general manager can make the moves that you feel like he can make. Although I still think I thought earlier that Gladstone was pretty much a standalone guy, and I think he is standalone, but in terms of making those big calls, I've kind of swung more towards Baselli being more of that guy, even though he's VP for ops. I think if there's a big decision related to the Jaguars in any area pretty much to be made, I think Tony's going to have probably the bigger voice of anyone in that triumvirate that we've talked about. But yeah, I mean, this is a team. If those guys, those people we're talking about are who the Jaguars hope they are and think they are, there is a lot of reason to think that they can be right back where they were a couple of years ago. And with that, I want to ask you this as we wind down here, Ev. Face of the Jaguars franchise right now. I thought about this. I thought it was interesting because I think a lot of people will always revert default to the quarterback.
Yeah.
But right now, after you traded up to go get the Heisman Trophy winner, you bring in a new head coach, you bring back, or you implement, you didn't really bring back Tony Baselli. He's always been there, but you implement him as an official leader of your program, of your franchise. Who's the face of the Jaguars franchise right now?
You know, I think it's kind of a toss up. So like you said, default to Trevor. I think Trevor is still the face of the franchise just based on when you look at the finances, when you look at the responsibility, all that different stuff. It's hard to say he's not, but I mean, you can make an argument right now that, you know, it's murky, you know, I mean, really, you know, being the face of the franchise is not being the same thing as the best player on the franchise. But you know, you think about like BTJ right now, if you asked a random NFL fan anywhere in the United States, hey, who's the best player on the Jaguars? They would say BTJ.
And it might be Travis Hunter without having played a down yet.
Next. Yeah, that's well, and
1-2. Those
yeah, guys. And on top of that, you know, I think it was moving up for Travis Hunter was very, I think Gladstone by doing that, it was obviously, you know, a move that they felt strongly about. But I also think there's probably a little bit of, you know, I'm going to make my boss happy. Because Shad and Tony, they love a splash.
They love stars.
They love
owners. Owners, not just them. Owners in general love stars. Right.
They want to be they want to be news
relevant.
They
want to be relevant. It equates to relevance. Yeah.
And if you go look at the rookie jersey sales after the draft, who's number one? It's Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
So it's like he's beating out Cam Ward. He's beating out Shador. He's beating out all those different dudes.
Wait a minute. Travis beat out Shador's CFL jersey.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, I mean that Shador jersey is going to be worth something. And
that Alouettes, jersey. Yeah.
When he's the first quarterback to be cut and signed by like five teams in 1 year.
Yeah.
It'll be worth something, that Brown jersey. But no, so I think, yeah, you could make an argument for Travis Hunter right now. I mean, it's kind of funny because like they, you know, it's just the modern era of what modern football and like social media and all that different stuff looks like. It can't really be a defensive player. Obviously, yeah. There are like, you know, huge names on defense. Like you could say like TJ Watt is probably the face of the Steelers franchise, but he might be the only defensive player that's the face of the franchise on an NFL team. You know, I think they wanted Josh Hines-Allen to be that, but obviously last year he just did not produce at the rate he did the year before. Trayvon Walker maybe too, but really, yeah, I think it's somewhere between Travis, Hunter, Trevor, and
we call it Traver.
Traver. Traver. Traver. Yeah, no. Trevor to Travis.
Traver.
Yeah,
I can't wait for it's
terrible,
coming.
The terrible calls on that in a few months. But yeah, I
Travis.
Guess I think if, until further notice, it's Trevor, but I mean, Travis Hunter is kind of already there.
I'm going Travis Hunter because I think he's gonna be huge in how this thing swings between what we talked about earlier. Is it the Lawrence era continuing on into 2027, the new stadium, all those things that are gonna come online in the next 3 or 4 years? I know he's a positional player, but I think he can be that impactful even at just the receiver position. And he has this persona. I mean, he lights up rooms. He's fun. He's a great dude by all accounts. People want to be around him. I think he's that kind of guy. I mean, I've made the Tannehill comparison too much. You don't need Trevor to be the best player on the team or the biggest star. Derrick Henry was the biggest star in Nashville, best player. And the Titans were the number one seed in the AFC playoffs not that long ago with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. So I'm gonna go T Hunt. I guess I just gave him another
nickname. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and I think Travis is gonna be more receptive to that.
I think Travis is
pushes it away, but Trevor really isn't wired that way either. It doesn't seem like.
I don't think Trevor cares, you know, if he's the
I don't know if Travis even cares. It's just easy. It's natural. It comes
to him.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I mean, another way that the draft pick does complement, because if you don't have a quarterback that's going to bring that kind of energy into the locker room or into the huddle, you know, then you better have somebody else doing it. And Travis Hunter can be that guy. That would be exceptional.
I think so.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on a rookie minicamp? Any? I mean, it's,
you know, I think there's going to be some names I'm going to look out for is one I got to throw out. You know, I guess it's a crapshoot, but I, you know, correctly called Jonah Monheim.
You did.
I think, you know, I
immediately texted you when Monheim.
Yeah, I was stoked about that. It's always fun when you get one right. But I think that is one of the rookies coming in. That's a name that I'm really, really looking at because, you know, we've talked about, oh, well, you know, Cohen and Fortner, they got that relationship. It's going to be good vibes, whatever. You know, really, Fortner versus Monheim is going to be the backup center battle. I think Hainsey is, you know, the more they've talked about him, the more it seems like, yeah, we're definitely kind of thinking he's our starter. If Monheim comes out strong early, Fortner better also be ready once he hits the training ground.
Well, the thing that gets overlooked when players and coaches are reunited on teams, especially when they go up from college to the pros, is that, that coach knows everything good about you. You know what else he knows? Everything bad about you, too, in terms of how that might translate to the National Football League. But, yeah, I think it'll obviously be newsworthy simply because of Travis Hunter. But I'm kind of with you. We look back on the draft. I had the Jags trading down and taking an OL. That obviously did not happen. I did have the Jags taking two running backs. That did happen.
Called that.
Yeah. Neither one of us had the Jags taking Genty at five. We weren't buying that. So interesting how things shake out, Evan. Been a lot of fun today hitting on some different topics.
Oh yeah, I also want to throw out Jack Kaiser. I want to see what that dude looks like around other NFL
and doing some of our mocks. I think we both kind of had him
around
in that pool, and especially where he went with special teams, a big part of that too, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and the thing is with the amount of experience that dude has, he ought to be able to be – he ought to look impressive when he shows up. Like, it shouldn't take him very long. I know he's a little not – you know, he's not quite the you know, most athletic guy that they've drafted, obviously. But I'll be curious to see that. That's the other name I'll throw
out. I mean, he's not Rudy either.
It's not –
Notre Dame defender from the past.
Yeah, Sean Astin, you know, putting on pads in Jacksonville, but it has been fun. And like I said, there's a ton of reason for optimism, and I'm just going to kind of focus on that for the summer, you know,
undefeated baby,
you know, we just got to stay healthy. That's the only thing that gets scary once guys start reporting is
protect Travis Hunter at all costs.
Yeah. I mean, it's
and a few others. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly any of the pickups this offseason, I want them, you know, as safe as possible because, it's been, we've been burned on that before. I mean, I still vividly remember Dante Fowler, like a month
right after the draft. Yeah. Neat.
You don't want to hear
any of that anywhere around the league for sure.
No, it's awful. But
you know what else is fun? Party Girl, where I'm positioned right now. Party Girl. I smell that. We've got that garlic cheddar bread about to come out of the oven right now. It's just killing me sitting here. To my right over there, we've got a cooler full of all kinds of great stuff. We've got a roasted tomato and garlic soup. We've got salads. We've got, You know what we got, Ev? We got beef and broccoli over rice.
I saw the photo of that. That looks entree. Really, really good.
That is savory and wow. A little fresh ginger in there, Ev. Some soy sauce. Yeah.
Well, that's all we're going to have to get y'all a wok in there. We're going to have to get y'all a big wok. Yeah. So y'all can
I'll stir fry you in my wok.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm I am jealous, but I'm excited to.
You're on your way down. On your way down to Duval.
Gonna come down this weekend and definitely kind of ransack that that cooler that you're talking about. So I hope y'all keep it stocked.
Yeah. Well, Party Girl is in the Avondale district of Duval. So look, if you're looking for something sweet, savory, you name it, gifts, they got it for you right here at Party Girl, 4205 St. John's Avenue. Also give them a call, 904-300-3025. Ev, we'll do it again soon, my man.
Sounds like a plan.
Safe travels to Duval. Look forward to that. So for Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, go ahead and do that right now. If you wouldn't mind, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification button. That way you're alerted to all of the content as it drops here on Roy. That's Ryer on YouTube. You can also hit us with a thumbs up. That would help us out tremendously as well. Once again, for Ev, I'm Trav. Until next time, so long, everybody.
See ya.